little something between you and me. Don't cost you nothing, this one's for free.
I'd like to pick up, I think, on Khalifa's issue straight away, because this is an exercise we do with people. So I normally have the statements up there, but I'll just give you one. So I'm going to give you a statement, and I want you to decide for yourself between 0 and 10, where 0 is I completely disagree with this statement, and 10 is I completely agree with this statement, the extent to which you agree with the following statement. In the end, it is my job as the doctor to advise the patient on the best treatment and encourage them to take it.
10.
Hold on.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, but that's cool. I know where you are now. just slightly more processing time for those people that are reflectors rather than activists.
Can you say it again? Sorry.
Yes, there you go. In the end, it is my job as a doctor to tell the patient what the best option is and encourage them to choose it. I changed it slightly, but that's exactly the same meaning. Okay. So, hands up. Everyone got a thought about that? A bit more time, could you? In the end, it is my job as a doctor to tell them what the best option is and encourage them to choose it.
When you say...
Hold on.
Whoa. I want you to just put your hands up when you get to the number in your head. Before we start getting into the yes, buts, and what's, which is what we're going to do in a second. So, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and Ben. Right, so we've got a spread from 4 to 10. Okay, between those folk that feel balanced slightly, no, I don't think this is right, to folk that feel, yep, that's the deal, that's what I do. So let's just spend 2 or 3 minutes just trying to unpick between us all why. Katie, do you want to put the 4? You were a 4 or 5?
5.
You were a 4.
I was a 4.
I'm going to let you not put the case yet.
Okay.
But, so Katie, you're a 5. We've got 5 to 10. So just let's hear a little bit of the nuances. What are the issues here?
It's opinion at the end of it. So there's medical fact. And then there's,
sort of,
and then medical information,
yeah.
And then there's opinion. So you can only base opinion based on the whole situation. And so what I think might be right and might be right by me and might be right by me superficially seeing it for them might not be right for the whole situation. Someone's a carer, they can't leave the person at home, you know, and so an operation wouldn't necessarily. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
So you've got to kind of give the information, weigh it up, and judge it based on each individual.
Okay, so there's something about knowledge or facts, however slippery or reliable those are, but there's also something about, does this fit for where the patient is? Yeah? Khalifa, you put a 5 as well. So any other sort of things on that?
I think, apart from obviously what she mentioned about we've got to put it in the context of that patient. If you say, make a statement as it's your job to tell the patient what the best form of treatment is and advise them, you are making, going down the route of you always have your agenda and the patient, and you're kind of trying to make the patient fall in line with what you think is best. And that might have the potential for conflict because the patient might not be interested in the treatment. There might be other things that are more important for the patient than those things that are burning in your mind that you're trying to relate to them.
Yeah, okay. So, Ben and Manisha, you were 9?
6.
No, you were 6. You were
9.
Come on then, you two. Let's...
Well, I kind of probably needed a bit more clarification when you said the best option, because that's quite a vague word. That could mean the best option by them, the best option by what I think clinically. I kind of took it to mean the best option all round that fits everyone, but
okay.
But I don't know, maybe I'm just overthinking it.
Yeah, okay. So you were saying if it's the best option, it must be the one we should encourage.
And I think the way I kind of understood your statement was that it's my job to explain what I feel are the best options, and then we kind of do the whole shared decision-making thing and come to the best option together. And I guess the reason why I didn't say 10 was because it doesn't always work that way. So
okay.
It's just sort of covering myself a little bit.
Ben, any other?
You said individualised and it has to fit into their story. Absolutely. But if we're saying what is the best decision for that patient, well, that would include their story and their situation. So given perfect knowledge of them and understanding of them as an individual, yes, I think my job is to help them in the best way that I know how. They are allowed to make wrong decisions. And someone else talked about selling management plans and selling what is a management plan. And what experience would tell us is the most likely best management plan, given their total personality and background.
Okay, so you're not so far adrift, perhaps, in that you're taking best as a mutually discovered best, whereas you were taking best as in that's what I think is best, and that's a problem if the patient doesn't have it. Cleaver, you had a particular case of someone you said something's a problem when they don't do what I think they should do.
Yeah, because it seems as there are scenarios where the patient's not coming entirely from, not seeing things from your own point of view.
Yeah.
At all.
No.
The thoughts that there's a very serious life-threatening condition, but the patient might just not want to go into hospital, just does not recognize the seriousness of what you're saying. And how do you sort of manage that?
So what do other people think?
I actually think sometimes this works really well when the patient in that scenario doesn't want to go to hospital. So classic case of a elderly patient who's got multiple comorbidities and got chest infection or whatever, and we say, look, probably need to go into hospital, and they say, well, look, to be honest, doctor, I just don't. It's the last place I want to be. I'd rather be at home, and if I was going to die, I'd rather die at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this works really well in that scenario because
when you say this, what do you mean this?
The idea of a shared decision.
Yeah.
Because then, yes, my agenda might be, yes, I need to send you into hospital, but actually the patient feels they'd rather die. She probably is going to die. She'd rather stay at home.
So what's your job in that circumstance?
I think my job is to explain the consequences of each decision. So staying home versus going into hospital.
Yeah.
And ensuring that the patient understands that, making sure they've got capacity, etc.
Okay.
And if they do, I think it's important to respect their decision. And if they don't want to go into hospital, then we can try and work around it. I think it doesn't work very well when I think they don't need to go into hospital and they want to go. And then it becomes a bit more trickier.
Mm-hmm.
And just to go back to because I picked a 7, and I think in learning about sort of shared decision for exam purposes, in an ideal world, you have a dialogue with the patient and they understand, you understand, and we share the decision. But in practical real life, I find a lot of patients come in and say, I went on Google and I think this is it and this is what I think I should have.
Mm-hmm.
It's my job as the doctor, because I know a bit more, hopefully, than Google, and I understand the context, their particular case. It's my job to then explain to them, no, actually, I don't think that's correct. This is probably the best thing for you. And then I effectively try and sell them that choice.
Yeah.
And often most patients come and say, look, I came for your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
They want our opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily give me some options and let me choose one of them.
Okay. Cool. Okay. I think that's all really rich stuff. Keith, do you have anything you wanted to add? Or?
I think that it's interesting to see the definition of best, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's absolutely right. Where we know enough about the patient to make the best decision with them, 10, not a problem. If there's the other perception, which is a doctor's best decision, then I think that's a completely different matter. And I think I would caution people to make that assumption, because particularly when you don't know the patient as well as somebody who's been looking after them for 20 years. And even after 20 years, I'm still not quite there with a lot of my patients when I can recommend a treatment. If the patient comes to me and says, well, you're the doctor, you make the decision for me. And I said, well, I'd really rather involve you in the decision because I really don't know what your personal values are and what works for you. These are the options that could work for you, and this is why it works for you. I think it is important when we've got the opportunity to do so, to involve them in important decisions. Minor decisions, I think that's sometimes okay just to say, well, this is what I would normally do myself. But otherwise, important decisions, I think it's important that we give them the opportunity to make that decision for themselves.
Well, I think make the decision together, because I think you can't always make mutually agreeable decisions. The Nefopam may or may not be, you know, one like that. So there are limits, and you're not in the business. It's not a shop. This is not, you're not selling things. And people aren't coming with money to buy things. You're in a negotiation. You're in the messy space in the middle. So let me show you a sort of model that I think is reasonably helpful. So that's a definition. And actually, since I did these slides, I'm constantly changing them, but it now reads something like, shared decision-making is a process whereby a patient and their relatives and context, which is all brought into the room with them, who is an expert in their own lives to the extent that any of us are, and a clinician who also brings their values, preferences, knowledge, context into the room, who is an expert in evidence-based medicine to the extent that any of us are, come together to make a decision and collaboratively understand that there are choices, present options and evidence, and explore these together in the light of the patient's personal preferences and beliefs before arriving at appropriate decision. Yeah, that seems like a reasonable. And I guess a couple of things. I don't think this is for exams. I think this is for life. You know, I think that you need to nail it for the exam. And there are some, you know, things that we can look at in how you demonstrate your nailing that in a 10-minute CSA. But it's a core part of what we now have to do if we're going to really survive, you know, the 21st century in terms of making medicine useful to people, which is actually constantly looking at how people can be more agents in their own health. And the less we're in telling mode and the more we're in exploring mode, the more likely we are to be treating patients as co-adults in the conversation rather than parent-child interactions or infantilizing the population, which is what we've done for the last 100 years, which is expropriate the language and the knowledge, turn it into Latin and Greek, and then sell it back powerfully from a position on high to folk that come as supplicants at our door. And this is a model that we can't afford to continue to use.
Fascinating, isn't it? Because law is quite happy to continue with that one.
And
various other professions.
Generally. And of course, one of the challenges is, if you look at the sociology of professionalism, how do you become a profession? The first thing you do is expropriate the knowledge, make it harder for other people to penetrate it, and then sell it back and have a long course.
Let's hear it for our GP. Skills improving, risk removing, no confusion.